Well, we are in our sermon series on the expectations of a Christian and their church. And we hit on just what this place is. This is an embassy. You've come to refuge. You're not asylum here on a foreign land. And the kingdom of God is at work here. And so we're going to go on now and talk about, out of Acts 2, just a church membership observed. It's quite interesting to just look at it and see that. And we sometimes think, church, do I really need it? Is it really necessary in my life? Those are the things. And had an interesting week. I have a couple things that happened. But early in this week, Hope and I was home tapping on my computer, writing my sermon. And when I write my sermon, I write a full transcript. Just so you know, some of you that are preachers out there, some just give a little points. I do my full transcripts and I preach off of it. And so I write it all out. And I'm sitting there when Hope runs into where I'm typing. And she says, I just got this. And I looked at the message. It was from the Voiles. Damien and Christy Voiles, they're on vacation in Hawaii this last week. And it said, ballistic missile inbound to Hawaii, take shelter, this is not a drill. And she wrote on there, would you please pray for us? I went, wow, yeah, Hope and I stopped for a moment. I thought it'd be a good time right now, this moment. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, I don't know if our entire world's going to change in the next few moments. Or if this is just not, if it's a drill, or I don't know. I was skeptical. But I wasn't in Hawaii. Okay? And we just prayed. I just prayed for the Voiles. And so I was actually couple days later thinking, what was Damien think? You know, a missile's inbound and my wife's on her phone. You know? Is that the best use of time? I don't know. You know? I might say, hey, hon, can you get off the phone maybe, huh? We got a missile inbound. What a privilege it is that in the middle of this chaos, Christy Voiles texted my wife. Well, I called him. And I said, Damien, it's Pastor Mark. What happened? He goes, you would not believe it. We're sleeping in. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. They have 6 daughters. Yeah, just get a handle on that. Okay? They had Mackenzie, and then they had twins. And they thought, we want one more. So they had triplets. You got more. When you have a litter, it's a big deal. Okay? When they came in our church, you know, Damon would be coming, then there would be Christy, and then you'd see, go, oh, that's cute. Oh, that's cute. And just watch the members go. And they all look the same, you know? And they said, all of a sudden our phones went, weird sound. And we 8 o'clock in the morning, Mackenzie's got a phone, so she looks at it. Missile inbound. Take shelter. This is not a drill. And Christy hops up and goes, you know, we got North Korea kind of hot and heavy right now and all this. And Damien says, my first thought was, you know, they don't have really good direction. Maybe they'll hit it way out in the ocean or something. And he's getting real tactical. He says, man, Maui's on one side, Honolulu's on the other. He said, probably hit Honolulu. We should get on this side of the building. The blast is going to hit this side. You know, he's getting all tactical. Christy's screaming at the girls, get up, get your clothes on. We're going to need our clothes. We're going to need our shoes. Just get them on right now. And it was a little panic there. And she says you could hear the whole hotel rumbling from people scattering. And she opens the door to the hallway, and it's mayhem. The alarm in the hotel is going, bah, 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 bah. That helps a lot. And they step out, and people are screaming at them, get out of the way. They're running down the hallway. They're not too far up. They're about 22 floors off the deck. And they're looking at the parking garage going, should we take shelter in the parking garage? people in riot gear enter the floor, tell them to take refuge in the hallway. They all huddle up, and Damon says, "How about we pray?" And they're praying while people are screaming and running and the alarm's going off, and a woman comes up to them with an infant, like 3 weeks old, weeping. Her husband's out on the beach taking an early swim, and she's by herself with her baby. And she goes, "I saw you guys praying. I'm a Christian too. Can I be with you?" She said, "Yeah, come on." She goes, "Can you come in my room?" "Sure, we all go in the room." They said, "You know what? We should probably sit down. Don't be standing if this thing blows, you know." And so they sit on the floor. And Kirstie said, "Pastor Mark, it was the first time I said, well, we've done as much as we can do. It's hard to outrun a nuclear bomb." And she had all six of her girls there, and Damien walking around going, "The blast is going to hit this way, and that's blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we better sit down, blah, blah," you know. And he's getting tactical, you know, pulling out his gas mask or something. And Kirsty says, "Pastor Mark, I just looked at my girls and said, now, girls, there's a possibility we're all going to heaven together. This is why we need Jesus for a day like this. This is why we trust Jesus." Isn't that not a good mother? Isn't that a great mom? Because this is going down and it's going to be okay. And these girls went, "Huh, we're going to be okay." Let me ask you, think church is important? You think Jesus is important? Only when you need him the most. Only when you need him the most. And at that point, she said, "Let me call Hope. Would you pray for us?" It went on 38 minutes before they said it was not a drill. 38 minutes, a long time to be in that condition. And so as we read this scripture, I want to ask you, you know, we're all going to have a moment like that. And it's going to be for real. This is all happening. You're going to need Jesus more than you know. You're going to find that repentance in the middle of a crisis is no time to repent. You won't have time to hate sin and put it away and come to Christ and get real with him. No, you're going to be in panic mode. And you're going to perish in this wave of overwhelming tragedy. And it could be a simple sickness for you. And so as we read this, let's look at, first of all, we're going to look at the qualifications to be a member. Qualifications to be a member of Grant Hills Baptist Church. Now, these are biblical expectations, not Grant Hills Baptist Church expectations. If they are, we need to change them to the biblical expectations. And then after that, what does it look like to be a church member? What's it look like here? What are we supposed to do? This is the Holy Spirit just entered the world this day on Acts 2, and tongues of fire come in. Christ is definitely seated on his throne, and the Comforter has been sent, and it lays on these apostles and these men and women, and they go out and they preach, and Peter's preaching, and he preaches in the synagogue or the temple here in Jerusalem, and man, a revival breaks out. And so we'll start at 36, the end of his sermon. You'd probably like me to start at my end of my sermon, but I'm not going to. Would you stand with me? And here, verse 36 of the second chapter of Acts. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Pretty tough ending of a sermon. "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each one be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.' And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" He must have just kept saying that over and over as they began to come out of the crowd. So then those who had received this word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. That's pretty good revival from 120 to 3,120. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. See, there's a potluck out there somewhere, right? And praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. What a great church time. Lord, we come before you. I thank you for your word. Lord, it's piercing my heart. And I pray it pierces others. Oh, Lord, we invite the Holy Spirit here, Lord. Because, Lord, I know you, Holy Spirit, you get excited when we talk about Jesus. That's where it's at. That's where you're active. And so, Lord, help us to glorify Jesus today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. What does it mean to be a member? I think the first thing we need to talk about in regards to church membership is what it qualifies. Who qualifies to be a member of a local evangelical church like Grand Hills Baptist Church? And these are different than what a member should do in a church. This is just entry. Qualifications means that they can even attempt to submit to church membership. Now, you're not going to find church membership in the Bible, but you see it everywhere. It's just one of those words, kind of like the Trinity. I've said this before. Qualifications mean you can even apply. The Reno Police Department had testing here just a little bit ago. I'm the chaplain for the Reno Police Department, and I was talking to the lieutenant. Said, how did the testing go? Big deal. I mean, these are going to be the next police officers for the city of Reno for years and years. And I said, how do you vet them? How do you vet these officers? You got thousands of them. He says, Mark, we went to this classroom at the college that holds 300 people. And they all sit down to do a written test. We have waves of them. So they'll have about three or four waves of them. 900, 1,200 people applying for maybe 25 spots. And he says, we got there, and they all get ready, and we give them their little scancron, and we do all that. And he said, right before they start, I stood up and said, hey, everybody, if you've done marijuana in the last 2 years, just get up and walk out. You're wasting our time and yours. That's a qualification. Qualification. Don't waste your time. Now, I'm not going to tell you to waste your time trying to be a member of a church, but there's some point to this. What is some qualifications we see here of being a church member? Well, here's number one. Qualifications number one. You can write them down. They're right there. It's in verse 36. You and I need to acknowledge our part in crucifying Jesus Christ. You and I. You say, whoa, whoa, preacher, you might be in the wrong century. I wasn't there. If your sins weren't there and they didn't get nailed to the cross, then you're lost forever. You and I, number one, have to come to an agreement here and say, my sins put Jesus Christ on the cross. I did it. In fact, on several occasions of my Christian life, I had to get on my knees and say, Jesus, I'm sorry that you have to die for this one too. That I just did willfully. Lord, I'm sorry. Would you please cover me too again? That's because I take responsibility for Christ dying for me. He died for sinners, and I'm one of them. And you're going to have to agree with this, because a man or a woman that wants to walk into a church membership and say, I had nothing to do with Jesus' death, can't have anything to do with the church. Because you won't get real about your relationship with Christ and your Creator. And so he said this. He said, "You whom you crucified." Not only that, secondly, we see we must have some sorrow, some real godly sorrow. It says here they were pierced to the heart. You looked that up in the Greek. Pierced means stabbed. Stabbed in the heart spiritually. Ugh. These are difficult things. Without godly sorrow, we will not come to Christ. The Puritans used to say, "Has Christ been made real to you?" That means, have you felt your need for a Savior? That you're a sinner, you cannot meet God like this, and you need someone to stand in the gap for you. You need an advocate, someone who would shed his blood, a perfect sacrifice for you. Christ did it, and you're pierced to the heart. You're pierced. It's today I stand before you, a preacher of the gospel, with a message of pardon for all of you that will hear my voice right now. The message is the gospel of Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins. And on the cross has made a way for your soul to be saved and forgiven of its sins against the Lord of heaven and earth. This is the best news ever, and it should pierce your heart. How will you respond to this pardon? Will you be pierced to the heart, or will you be cut to the quick? Because in chapter 9, we see Stephen preaching a phenomenal sermon, maybe better than Peter's. And they were cut to the quick, and in one impulse, they killed him. Because really, the preaching of the gospel is going to be one or two things. It's either going to soften you up and say, "Oh God, have mercy on me," or it's going to harden you. See, either you're going to say, "What should we do?" or "Shut up." Just one or two responses. Which one's coming out of your heart right now? "Preacher, shut up. I didn't kill Jesus. That's foolishness." Or, "Wait a minute. I do. I am responsible to a creator, and his name's Christ. What should I do?" Well, these are things that, if you're going to be a church member, you're going to have to go through this. Number three, we need to plead for help. We need to get desperate. Do you see that? What must we do? I love it when people get desperate for Christ. Nothing ever changed in my life till I got desperate for Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. That's what this means. When we get in this position where Christ convicts our heart, And we go, "Wow, he's near right now. I can feel him in my life. This is the time to move." You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. And we see that confession is made unto salvation. We're going to have to open our mouth. At least our heart. Do you hear the desperation in this statement, dear church? What must we do? It is the one thing that I look for the most in preaching the gospel. Oh, that someone would be desperate today. That they have been brought to a place of seeing that they are ruined before God. And there's nothing we can do. And they keep crying out, "What can we do?" Doing is what's got you into this mess. Stop doing and turn to Jesus. There's nothing you can do. I witness to people all the time. I give them that line. "In your personal opinion, what do you understand it takes for a person to go to heaven?" To do good. That's your plan. How's that going? You're going to stand before God with all what you've done? Whew. That's a bad plan, and it's not according to the gospel. And we cry out, "What shall we do?" Well, there's nothing we can do to fix this. All we can do is trust the one who has already fixed it. And Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. And we need godly sorrow. That leads us to this. You will never come to Christ outside of faith of knowing that he loves you and that he has a plan for you and that it's good. You must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. You need to seek the Lord. And so we need this divine pardon, this forgiveness, and we need a divine influence, the Holy Spirit, to come on us. Now, he says, I know what you need to do. You need to repent. Repent. What's this? He says, repent and be baptized. But what's this? Number four, we need to repent. Turn from our sins and ourselves. Hey, repent means to confess. Confess means to say the same thing God says about your sin. God says it's evil, it's evil. People get after Christians a lot of time, all this. They say, why don't you agree with this and this political thing and that mess and that social issue? It's just not in the Bible. The Bible says it's sin. It's wrong. It's destructive. And it's even openly destructive. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. And so we're called to say the same thing. And sometimes we need to see it like Christ sees it. We need to see our sin, not just say, that was wicked, that was messed up. We need to see it. James does a good job with it. He says, like a dog returns to his vomit, so a sinner to his folly, to his sin. You know, a dog, he can't pass up a warm meal. He throws up, and then he wants to go back to it. Now, I bet you came here so I could preach about this. But I didn't say that. I didn't say that. James said that. Right here in the Word of God. You know why? Because James wants you to see your sin like God sees it. That you threw up and you want it back. We need to see this. You know, he talks about dogs, then he talks about hogs. And hogs, you get a sow out of the mud and you clean her up and get a little bow on her and put some foo-foo oil on her. And guess what she wants to do? She wants to go back to the mud slop, lay in her mess. She loves it there. You see, this is what James is saying, and this is what Peter's saying. You need to repent from this nature of yours, because dogs like throw up and pigs like the mud. And you need to pray for God to change you. Because when I was not a Christian, I liked throw up. And I liked the pig pen. And I walked forward in a church service. And God touched my heart. And I was dead and he made me alive. By the power of the Holy Spirit. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I became alive. And you're saying, man, you are crazy. I can't explain it. But I got changed. And on a few occasions, I'll look at the vomit and go, wow, I liked that. I can't even return to it by God's grace. You need to repent. You need to turn. Fifthly, Peter says you got to go public. Do you know your Christian life, your coming to Christ isn't a private matter? That God calls you out and says, I want you to get baptized publicly. I want you to get in some water. It's not dirt because it would hurt. Water. I want you to do a drama. I want you to stand before everybody and say, Jesus is my Lord, and this is what he did for me. He died for me. And I'm raised to live a whole new life. And one day, I'm going to die, and he's going to resurrect my body because I trusted in Jesus Christ, my Savior. This is what he wants you to do. He decided this. We didn't make this up. The church didn't make it up. Jesus said to do this. And Peter says immediately, the first thing, repent. And get baptized. Church, I just shared with you the qualifications of being a church member. You're going to have to do this. God has to call you out. And you got to take responsibility of your sins and putting Jesus on the cross. And it should pierce you to the heart. And you should say, oh, I need desperate. What should I do, preacher? And I should say, hey, repent. Turn from your sin. Confess it and come to faith in Christ. And he'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit and you'll have a changed life. And then you'll say, I want to identify publicly. And you'll get in the waters without any trouble. you'll run into them. Well, that's what it takes. Those are the qualifications. I didn't ask you how much money you had. I didn't ask you to dress a certain way. I didn't ask you to be the right genre of ethics or integrity or any. I just asked you to come to Jesus. And that's what it is. Now, what's a Christian look like once he gets this? It says here, the first thing, verse 42, and I must run through these. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Hey, you know what the apostles' teaching is? Right here. This is the word of God written by men moved by the Holy Spirit. It's the word of God. It's not failed. There's 2,500 promises in this Bible. 2,000 plus have already taken place. Do not bet your soul on the next 500. It's going to happen. And so this is it. And so the first thing you want to do when you come into a church is say, are they going to go by this? Are we going to come in here and are we going to say, we're going to do it our way or the Bible's way? And we're going to take the Word of God and part it up and say, we don't like that part, don't like that part. No, we're going to take the whole thing and it's going to get uncomfortable. Church, the next 10 years in America, it's about to get real uncomfortable. Because we're going to have to say what the Bible says. And many of these denominations need to take their cellophane off their Bible, open it, and just read it. Because they're losing power of the Holy Spirit by not going by the Bible. And I could go on all sorts of social issues and all sorts of things. But at Grant Hills, as long as I'm pastor, we're going to go by the Bible. And if I don't, you should kick me out of here. This is God's church, not mine. And so we first go by the Word of God. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:14-15, wonderful. Listen to this verse. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Your whole soul lies within this book. It's not just any book. It's the living Word of God. Number two, they had mutual fellowship. They had belonging. You know, we have a very intimate God. In our Sunday school, did you notice how intimate God is with us? He searches us out. He's in here. He knows our thoughts. That's why you need intimacy, because we have an intimate God. And so they fell under the teaching word. And the next thing is they went into belonging. Hey, you want to know a real critical problem with the church today? They want to attend but not connect. I'm preaching to some of you. You won't come to Sunday school. It's too uncomfortable. Because we're going to start rubbing together and start talking about things. And they desired this mutual belonging. And it's a real problem in our country today. We think we can just go to church and hear a sermon and leave and not connect. Or we can just sit at home and watch it on TV. And we can do this. And we wonder why there's some things lacking. And so this is a great desire, need for every believer to belong. Who do you call my people? Where do you go to your kingdom outpost? Where's your embassy? And they desire to come together to express joy in finding salvation in Christ alone. They were the richest people on earth. Church, we're the richest people on earth. We know Jesus. And we're going to heaven together. This is incredible. Well, do you want to connect? It says in Romans 12:10-11, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's what it looks like to be a church member. Thirdly, in giving of their resources. Oh, giving money. Their resources or land or whatever they had then. You know, the one thing they held back all their life, their wealth, and they just hold on to it, they now freely give it away. What an amazing thing. There's only one reason for it. Their treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. They're not here anymore. You know, it's really fun. It's fun to get a paycheck and go, wow, God got 10% of that. At least I'm going to give it to the church and build the kingdom of God at this embassy. This is wonderful. This is joyful. My wife and I do that. And we love it. And there's only one place in the Bible to say, test me. Give your tithes. I'll show you. Some of you aren't testing him where he asked you to. And your finances. Here they gave everything. You know, in the Old Testament, it was a tithe and it was several. But in the New Testament, we have a new economy. You give everything if God asks for it. It's a little bit different, isn't it? Well, number four, in the breaking of bread, remembering tonight we're going to have the Lord's Supper. They had it almost every day. They wanted to remember what Christ did for them. That his body was broken. He shed his blood for us. He went to the cross for you and for me. And he rose from the grave for our justification. It's a wonderful thing. But we want to remember the Lord like he wants us to remember him. And they came together. And this is something that the church does together as an ordinance. We have baptism and we have the Lord's Supper. And if you're a member of Grant Hills, you should be here. The early church, if you didn't show up for the Lord's Supper, they came and visited you. Zwingli would find you in Switzerland. You'd get a fine. $20. You missed the Lord's Supper. Why would you miss the Lord's Supper? Because you're hiding something. That's what they'd think. And you didn't want to get right. And the football game was on. Or whatever. I know I'm kind of preaching now. Lastly, it says in prayer, fellowship with God. This is coming together for corporate prayer. Something that is repeated in Scripture over and over again. In chapter 4, they'll pray together and the place will shake. You know, it didn't shake when they preached. It shook when they prayed. When's the last time you've been to a prayer meeting? If you're not in Awanas or something else that's going on. We need to be together in prayer. We have a revival coming up in April, and we're changing up our prayer times here in another month or so to prepare for this. And we're going to start praying for revival. And we're going to stop maybe praying for like an organ prayer, like my liver and my kidney and my back and my shoulder and all this. We're going to pray for revival. God would change our hearts. We need revival. Turn my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways, O Lord. I think that's a great piece for our new revival. God's calling us to live on earth as children of the Most High, awaiting a time when we will be with him. Like the Voiles almost thought, this was it. And Jesus meant everything. Queen Victoria, probably the greatest queen. Maybe. This one's pretty good. But Queen Victoria was just a young girl, 15, 16 years old, and she would not do her studies. She was bored. They held her pretty much captive. And they didn't tell her she was going to be the next queen of England. And so she's just unmotivated. She wanted to play. She wanted to play music. And she wanted to go hang out. And she wanted to do this. And she didn't care. And finally, one of the instructor said, we need to tell her. We just need to tell her that she's going to be the next ruler of the known world. Maybe that'll motivate her. And so they got together and they said, Victoria, we have some news for you. You are the next in line. And the guy that's on the throne right now, one foot's in the grave, another one's on a banana peel. And you're going to be the queen pretty quick. And she went, excuse me? I'm going to be the Queen of England? Well, then I must be good. In fact, I must be very good. And it changed her life. For the rest of her life, she became one of the best rulers of England. Church, I want you to settle in for a moment. Listen to me closely. If you haven't heard a thing all day, just look up here right now. If you're a Christian today, you're going to reign with Christ. You're going to reign with Christ. You're going to judge angels. and you're going to sit on a throne, and you're going to have a crown of life. And this place is about helping you get there. This church is about preparing you to meet your Savior face to face. Nothing else. Are you ready? Do you think it's time to be good? I think it's time to put off foolishness and start getting ready to meet the Lord. Last night I got a very unusual call, something I rarely do. Because of our government shutdown, there was nobody to go tell a man that his 28-year-old boy was just killed in the military yesterday on his mother's birthday. And so I went with a chief warrant officer who had never done it before. And I knocked on the door. And there's a chaplain and a military guy at a man's house who's got a boy in the military. And just to hear that young man sitting next to me who's never done this before, the Secretary of Defense would regretfully like to tell you that your son Kevin was killed today while training off the coast of California. And I saw a man go, oh. It was here. It was happening. And one day, it's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to you. And it could be the best day of your life or the worst day of your life. And as that young man was telling that father, I couldn't help myself. I just walked up and grabbed him by the hand and said, I'm so thankful for your sacrifice to our nation. You had a good boy who always looked into the fight. He crashed in his helicopter. Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you played around with church? Do you know? Are you got the qualifications? Have you come to Christ? That's all I'm asking. It's all the Bible's asking you. I'm not asking what color you are. I'm asking, do you know Jesus? You can join this church today if you know Jesus. You want to come to Christ? You can be led right here. That's how I did it. Maybe you said, man, I've been sitting long enough. Maybe church is a little bit bigger than I thought. I need to come and join. Well, that's why we have an invitation. That day, Peter had an invitation, and they came, and they counted them. 3,000 souls. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to have a hymn, and you come as the Lord leads you.